Matthew chapter number 17 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mount apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias." Would you lift your hands, young people, and ask God to help us the last day service this morning? Lamb of God, we appreciate you for your spirit. The altar, we'll thank you for it. Amen. I want to preach out of verse number 4. "Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here." What Peter was saying is, "Lord, I don't want to leave." And that's what I want to preach about this morning. I want to preach on grieving about leaving. When I look at Peter this morning and James and John, we know the scene and the setting. Jesus has taken them apart up to a mountain where they were there. And we know that, as I read to you, that Jesus was transfigured before them. They seen Jesus and Moses and Elias there on the mountain, and the glory of God fell. They fell down. They began to worship and praise the Lord. Peter and James and John had such an experience on that mountain that most people never experienced anything like that. I know I've never seen that. So understand this morning that Peter and James and John were on the mountain with Christ, and they seen and heard things that most people will never see and hear. They heard the voice speak, and they seen the glory of God. And when that happened, Peter just, he got beside himself, and he was just in such awe and such amazement. And that's out of verse 4. He said, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." Peter's looking at the Lord, and he's looking at the experience that he just felt on the mountain. He's seen the glory of God and the power of God. And then Peter looks at the Lord, and when he says, "It's good for us to be here," I can't help but believe Peter's mind went back to the base of the mountain. Peter's mind went back to the foot of the hill and realized, "When I leave this place, I've got to go back and face reality. When I leave this place right here this morning, I've got to go back in the midst of people that haven't seen what I've seen. They haven't felt what I've felt. They haven't experienced what I've experienced. Therefore, they're not going to be living like I'm living." Peter understood that at the foot of the mountain, he had to go back into the real world, and he would have to once again deal with reality. Peter realized that leaving this place, he would have to go back and he would have to deal with his tendencies. He'd have to deal with those things that he was prone to fall to. Peter, we know, was a man that at times could be quick-tempered and quick-spoken, and he had issues in his life that he had to deal with and problems that he had to face. But Peter knew one thing. As long as he was on the mountain, as long as he was in the presence of God and he was experiencing the glory of God, he knew, "I don't have to really deal with reality. I don't have to deal with all of the temptation. I don't have to deal with the problems. I don't have to deal with people that hate me, people that hate my Savior, people that hate my lifestyle." But he knew, "If I could just stay right here." What Peter was saying to his Lord, "If I leave this place, I may fall and I may stumble." But Peter knew, "Lord, if I could stay right here, if I could never leave this place, I know I could make it. I know I could live right, because everybody around me wants the same thing I want, and everybody around me feels the same thing I feel." He didn't want to go back down. But Peter knew, and I don't believe it, he knew the full the full brunt of what he was about to face. But at the foot of that mountain, there was a multitude gathered, and there was a young man that was possessed with a devil, and it's a perfect picture of us this morning. We have been here at youth camp this week, and we have seen the glory of God. We have felt the presence of God so real, and I felt a burden on my heart to preach this morning, just like Peter didn't want to leave, because he knew, Brother Dean, right here I can make it. Right here I know I can live right, and I can live whole. Because I'm in a holy atmosphere. But understand, just like Peter, we can't stay here forever. I felt when I come here, I felt this on my heart. There's some young people right here this morning. I know some of you is going back to good churches and holiness churches. But I feel like there's some young people here this morning that you know before you came here, you were struggling and you was battling. And you was fighting some things. And you was dealing with some issues that was tugging at your heart. But this week at youth camp, you've gotten some help from God. This week at youth camp, you feel like you've prayed through. You feel like you've gotten made some ground with God. And really, there's a fear in your heart. Because you know tomorrow we're going to shut the lights off. And we're going to go home. And then you're going to have to go back into reality. And really, this morning, you feel like Peter. Lord, just let me stay here. Let me go find me a trailer in the back to get in and shut the door and hide, because I don't want to go back and face the real world, because I know I'm prone to fail, and I know I got a problem and a temptation, and some of you this morning, you wish you could stay right here forever. You don't want to leave this place because God has helped you so much. And you don't want to have to go back because you know that there's a chance that you could fail. There's a chance that you could fall. And I want to preach to you young people this morning. You don't have to fall. Peter didn't want to leave that place. The sad news we have to tell you about Peter is that in the book of Matthew chapter number 26, Peter did fail. Peter failed miserably. Remember around the campfire? Warming his hands, he denied the Lord and he failed. He went out and he wept bitterly. I feel like that's where some of our young people are at this morning. There's a fear in your heart. Because I understand in a crowd this size, chances are not every one of you come from the best environment. That's the thing about youth camp that breaks my heart, is to realize that all we can do for young people this week, some of them, we've got to send them back into an atmosphere that if without the help of God, all the odds are against them. We got to send them back. Some of you may be going back to broken homes. Some of you may be going back to single parent homes. Some of you may be going back to homes that aren't Christian homes. And really this morning you feel like, Brother Jonathan, I wish I could just stay here, because I felt the love of God and the grace of God. And I seen that I get out, and sometimes it seems I have trouble and I fail. That's what Peter did. He failed the Lord. But I want you to notice with me, Peter went up on the mountain, he came down, and he did fail the Lord. And I feel like this morning some of you, I don't want to fail. I don't want to leave here and fall. I don't want to leave here and lose what I got. But I read about another encounter Peter had when he went up. The Bible said in the book of Acts chapter number 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place and in one accord. And so, then suddenly there came from heaven a sound like as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here's Peter again. He's going back up again into another place. He's failed the Lord. He's messed up. He's failed royally. But Peter's made another ascent. Peter's going up into another place. And I come to preach to you this morning, young people, what some of you need to do before youth camp's over. You've got an experience in God this week, and I believe it. But you need to take another trip back up. You need to go up again into an upper room. You need to get an experience in God this morning in the Holy Ghost. Acts 2, and again later on in that chapter, would you know the Bible said, and Peter standing up with the 11. What I love about this text is I never see where Peter failed the Lord again. I see where Peter got his foot on the rock and he got established. I want to preach to you young people this morning. Some of you are worried about leaving. You're worried about the temptation and the struggle. But I want to preach to you on the last day of youth camp. You can get full of the Holy Ghost this morning. You can get so full of God that you can stand for the Lord. Regardless of what's going on around you, you don't have to leave here and fail. You don't have to be lost next year, but you can make it. I'm reminded of another man in the book of Exodus, chapter number 31. Moses went up on the mountain. There, he's one of the only men that you read about that had this type of experience. Moses on the mountain with the Lord, and I'll condense it, but the Lord told him there's a place by me. He's seen God. He's seen the Lord move. But that day when Moses went, Moses got the law. Moses got the Ten Commandments. Moses had an experience with God that no doubt changed his life. But do you remember the end of that story when Moses come off of the mountain? It didn't take him very long to realize everybody else didn't have the same experience he had. It didn't take him very long to realize the people that were around him weren't interested in the law. They weren't interested in what God did for him on the mountain. They're not going to be interested in all of a sudden what God did for you at youth camp. But he come up the mountain and they're worshiping the false gods and the idol gods. And they're shouting and they're dancing and they're running around. And you remember what Moses did? He threw it down. And he broke it. In essence, what he did. When Moses come off the mountain and realized everybody else wasn't excited as he was about what God was doing, he lost what God gave him on the mountain. But when I read this text about Moses, what a response that it was. He come off, he threw the tablets down and he broke them. But what I love about Moses, that time he got the law, but he went back up on the mountain again. And this time he said, I beseech thee, O Lord, show me thy glory. And he got in the place, he seen the glory of God. And this time Moses not only got the law of God, but Moses fell in love with God. And when Moses come back off of the mountain, it didn't matter what anybody else was doing. Moses knew, I got something while I was up there that'll keep me when I get back down here. And I want to preach to you young people this morning. Some of you will go back to public schools in a couple of months. Some of you will go back to working jobs. And everybody's not going to be excited about youth camp. Everybody's not glad you got sanctified and Holy Ghost filled. Everybody's not glad that you got rid of all your worldly stuff. Everybody's not glad that you're coming out from among the world. You're excited and you're happy. But boy, I'll tell you, I've had some people throw some wet blankets on my fire before. I remember when God was working on me and dealing with me in my late teenage years. I remember when he began, Brother Jim said it the other day, I remember he began to give me convictions. Brother Dallin, I didn't tell nobody what my convictions were. I didn't get up and announce and said, hey, I feel like the Lord has dealt with me about this. I just started doing it. Didn't say a word to nobody. And would you know there's people that attend holiness churches that aren't glad when you start moving up? Because they got the same convictions you got, but they're not living it. And it brings condemnation to their life. I remember when God dealt with me, I didn't get called to preach and jump on the preacher bandwagon and start, no, before I ever got called to preach, God began to deal with my heart about television. I know television, it's kind of, there's so much more now that you could, but that was a while back. God began to deal with me about television and movie, and I had access to it. And I remember staying with some people. They were my best friends, Sister Guthrie. I lived at their house. They were a little older than me. They were raised the same way I was raised, probably stricter. But I remember staying over there, and they had a television. One night, there was a big group of young people there, and they was going to put in a movie. And I wasn't going to jump up and preach them a sermon about it. I didn't want to cause a scene. I didn't want to be rude. It was their house. I spent the night over there all the time, so it wasn't a big deal for me just to kick back in the recliner, and it was like my second home. So I just turned around where I wouldn't be facing. And you know, that wasn't good enough for them. That girl called me out in front of that entire crowd and said, "What? You too holy to watch TV now?" And brother Jim, I'm telling you, it did something to me. It made me mad, really, what it did more than anything. But it hurts. It hurt in my, because I felt, I'm not doing this for anybody. I'm not doing it because a preacher said to, but I'm trying to get closer to God. I'm trying to get to move up. And you think everybody would be happy about it. But you understand, it wasn't but about a year before that boy told me that God was dealing with him about his television, but he wouldn't get rid of it because of his wife. And now they got a bigger one than they've ever. I want to tell you, not everybody's happy about you moving up in God. I want to tell you something. You need to get an experience in God that'll keep you, regardless if they come against you, regardless if they're talking about you and running you down. You need to get something in God that you can stand on. That same group of people, when God began to deal with me personally, and this is my personal conviction. I look around, and I'm just going to preach it to you like I feel this morning. God began to deal with me in the ministry and different things about my sleeves. Understand me, I believe there's modest short sleeves. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but I do. I really do. But me, God dealt with me, all right? I didn't say nothing to nobody. I didn't blast them about their sleeves, but I didn't say nothing. But I just started trying to, our work uniforms were short, so I got me a shirt, like a lot of you do, and got up under it. And I didn't say nothing to nobody, Brother Dean. I was minding my own business. Again, we're at a harvest festival type thing. People everywhere. This girl, Lord have mercy, she said, what? They called me Johnny. They said, what's wrong with you? You wearing long sleeves now, Johnny? You done got holy? And boy, it made me mad. It hurt because here I am again. I'm just trying to feel after God. I'm a young man. I'm trying to get some conviction. I'm trying to get close to God. I'm trying to get an experience. And there's people that go to holiness churches that were raised just like I was raised, and they didn't like it. Everybody ain't gonna like you dressing modest because it condemns their worldly dress. Everybody ain't gonna like you getting rid of the movies because they got a stack of movies at their house. Everybody ain't gonna like you throwing away your country and rock CDs because they got them in their house. But I want to tell you, young people, you can have an experience with God that you can live holy no matter what everybody else is doing, that you can have some conviction. I don't know about some people. They act like they don't have a conviction about nothing. But I believe God still deals with people. I believe God will still deal with you about how to live and how to dress. And what to listen to and what to watch. We had a young lady, they started coming to our church. I tell you, she got the Holy Ghost a couple Sundays ago. They just started coming. Her husband was raised there, and they left. They come back. They're seeking God. She got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God sanctifying her, dealing with her. She didn't know nothing about church at all. I heard Brother Rich tell those stories about the Indians and the heathens that didn't know nothing. They got saved. They come back covered up. But this is in America, all right? This is in Alabama. This girl knows nothing at all about church, but she got saved. She got born again, and God began to deal with her. I didn't know them that good. I didn't know how she felt about everything. So me and my wife's careful. But she said, I started going back over to my mom's house, and my mom, her mother, now, this is a girl that was a heathen. She got saved. She's doing good. Her mama told her. She said, "You look stupid in skirts all the time." Her own mama. "Why do you wear them skirts all the time? You look stupid. That looks uncomfortable. Why are you going to church all the time? Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? Do you know what she did? She was respectful to Mama. She wasn't disrespectful, but she started putting some distance between her and Mama, and she started closing the distance between her and God. And I seen her skirt start getting longer, her neckline start coming up. She started talking about not cutting her hair. Nobody preached it to her. Nobody said a word to her, but she's getting some conviction as she's reading the Bible. And God's moving and God's working. And everybody ain't happy about it. But when she was speaking in tongues and shouting around, she wasn't concerned about what they were saying. She was in the glory of God. She was feeling the presence of the Lord. I want to tell you, young people, if you'll move toward God, regardless of what everybody else says, God will bless it. You start moving toward God, God will start blessing you. God will start working in your life. I love it. I love it. One of my best friends, I'd tell it if he was here. I'd let him tell it. Our guitar player at our church come from a broken home. His mama absolutely hates holiness. His dad's a great guy. He's just laid back. He's a Baptist guy. His mama hates holiness. She's backslid Pentecostal fire baptized. Backslid holiness. They're the hardest that fight against wholeness. And she hates it with a passion. That boy got saved. It's been, I don't know, 5-6 years ago. I'm not exaggerating. You can ask the girls that are here from our church. He can pick up any instrument on this stage and play it. And play it good. Guitar's his specialty, but he can play anything. He was playing in the band, the high school football band. He's into it. That boy would go in concert band. They sent him all over. They sent him to the Macy's Day Parade in New York. They sent him all over from that high school. And he was in that, and his mama fought him hard. His mama fought his sister, and she backslid. She had a child. Her life's a mess. But this young man, I've been there, Brother Dean, when mama called him on the phone, and I could hear her chewing him out. You know what? I feel the Holy Ghost. You know what he said? He said, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I've been there. I've seen it when she chewed him out. She said, when we have revival and we're out late and we're eating, she said, if you're out past 12 o'clock, she said, don't even come home. I mean, just hates holiness with a passion. But I've watched that young man as he got conviction. And he started moving toward God. He started laying stuff down. He started putting stuff down. He got up and testified a while back at our church. This boy, I love him. I love him. I wish he was here, Candace. I'd get him to testify. He is, you remember what Paul say, a man born out of due season? Was that Paul? Somebody said that? That's him. I mean, he loves the old school. He is old school. Before he got saved, it was Hank Sr., I mean, it wasn't none of this Rascal Flatts, modern country. It was the old school stuff. And he loved that. It was in the Southern Rock, and he had all of those CDs. And I remember a while back, Brother Dean, he got up in church and got to testifying. He said, God got to dealing with him. He said, I took all my CDs and I threw them in the garbage. But then he said that wasn't good enough. He said, I went and got them out of the garbage. And he said, I threw him on the ground, and he said, I started stomping him with his cowboy boots on. And he broke them in all kind of little bitty pieces. I watched him, Brother Dean, from then to now. I start putting stuff down and picking stuff up and praying and crying and seeking God. I want to tell you, young people, you can live holy regardless of who comes against you. Some of your mamas might not like it. Some of your daddies might not like it. Some of your friends might not like it. But when you feel the presence of God sweep over your soul, it really don't matter who likes it. As long as I'm pleasing the Lord, as long as I got God's stamp of approval on my life, let the world do what they want to do. But I believe I'll serve the Lord. I believe I'll live wholeness. I believe I'll do right. Don't miss it when you come off the mountain. Don't leave here and start laying back down things that God talked to you about in youth camp. I know right here you don't have all of your apparel here at youth camp. Chances are there's some right here that God's taught to your heart. And when you get home, you need to take care of some stuff. When you get home, you need to do some things. Some stuff that needs to come off of the iPod and the iPad There's some stuff that needs to come off of the pages and off of this. There's some things that need to be. Don't leave here and let the devil talk you out of it. Don't you leave here and get back around that worldly bunch. And they say, what are you doing, man? Are you crazy? You just got that youth camp religion. Hey, I don't know what kind you got, but the kind I got. God said I need to live holy, and I need to live sanctified, and I need to live pure. But you know what? For everything I laid down, God blessed me for it. For every step I took toward God, what the Bible said, draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh unto you. There's nothing in the world greater than the presence of God. I wouldn't trade the Holy Ghost for nothing this world's got to offer. I wouldn't trade it for any pleasure, any fun, any dress, any place. Because understand me, all of those things are fleeting, young people. They really don't matter. But what matters is having the presence of God in your life. The old Church of God preacher said it this way, Ray Hughes. Said the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a witness to a sanctified life. There's nothing, young people, you can't go wrong trying to move toward God. You can't go wrong. I've got friends that have put other stuff on the side and they've done things that a lot of people say, what is wrong with you? But you know what they were doing? They're saying, look, I need to come apart for a while and I need to just seek the Lord. I need to just get close to God. Because they don't want to fail. They failed before. And they don't want to backslide again. Listen, it's not, I know that you see it a lot, but really, it's not God's will that you backslide and get saved every youth camp. I know that's what the devil says is going to happen. I know that's what he tells some of you right now. Yeah, you shouted this week, but wait till you get home. But listen to me, young people, it don't have to be that way. You get full of the Holy Ghost right here this morning, tonight service. Seek the Lord with everything within you. You can have an experience that camp meeting rolls around. Youth camp rolls back around. You're still here. You're consistent. There's nothing I love more. If somebody get us a song, Sister Becky. There's nothing I love more than seeing spiritual growth in young people. I love it. I love it when I see, and I know most of you know the ins and outs, the do's, the don't, all that. But I love seeing people, whether they know it. I really love seeing people that have no idea. But you know what that does when you see people that have no idea? My mind keeps going back to that. That young lady, she's had people that are in their 30s that's been raised holiness, stricter than our church was, they were raised that way. That young lady's had them tell her, why are you doing that? You don't have to do that. Why are you going over there to that church? Why don't you come down to this church? But see, what they don't know is she wasn't church, so she don't know you're supposed to respond with tact. So what she told them, she said, your church is dead. That's exactly what she told them. She said, that's why we're going to Summit, because your church is dead. I don't feel nothing. She said, I might as well stay in the bed. She don't know nothing about church. But she said they got up at the Church of God and they started swaying with praise and worship. They all got on mini skirts. She said, I ain't going back over there. She heard all of the horror stories about holiness churches. She heard that when she come over there, people was going to look at her funny and they was going to be mean to her. She said, I didn't experience none of that, but I seen people love me. And she said, every time I come, I get something from God. Hey, young people, you start moving toward God. God's going to move toward you. God's going to help you. Would you stand with me this morning? Our sister gives us a song. I want you to come around this altar, young people, and make up in your mind, I am not going to miss it when I come off the mountain. Come on, young people. I'm not going to leave here and go back to my old ways. I'm not going to leave here. Hey, some of you may have to go home and cut some ties with some old friends. I should have said that while I was preaching, but you can't run with the same crowd you run with and expect to stay saved. You can't expect to run with worldly people and stay holy. You may have to cut some ties. You may have to delete some friends. You may have to, but understand me, it'll be worth it. When you feel the Holy Ghost move in your soul, it'll be worth it. Come on, moms and dads, parents and pastors. Let's gather in around these young people and help them pray through to an experience that'll keep them. You don't have the Holy Ghost, young person? I'd make up in my mind, I'm going to have the Holy Ghost before I leave youth camp. I'm going to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because He'll lead you and He'll guide you. He'll tell you what to do and what not to do. I asked that young lady when she got the Holy Ghost, I asked her the next week, I said, have you had the Holy Ghost check you about anything? She said, oh yeah, He checked her. Come on, young people, seek the Lord this morning.